Okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 122 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
Excellent.
That's good.
Shame about last week. We just conflicting schedules.
Yeah.
And these things happen.
Life is what it is, and exactly. we do what we can. Sometimes, you know, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Oh, yeah, great quote.
Yeah. And that's just basically what happens. But here we are again.
Yep.
And it's nice to be back, you know, it really is. Oh, and look, while I've got you, Bruce, there is something I have been asked to do. Jim Rockwell has asked me to do this, and I'm going to do it while I've got you on the line. And I've got...
Not liking the sound of this.
Oh, you will, mate, you will. While I've got you on the line and I've got Facebook open, how the heck do I join our own Shutters Inc. Facebook site?
Oh, okay.
So you know, you want to walk this through?
Give me a sec to get into Facebook. Hang on a sec.
Okay. Oh, I thought you'd just be able to say, look, open Facebook, type in audio to you, and it would have just taken me a second.
That's a good point. Because I'm always logged in as me, I'll have to check on that. What you would do would be go to the groups. Now, depending on how you've got your page set up, I have groups bookmarked down at the bottom of the screen. In the bottom left-hand corner, it says applications. And if you've got groups bookmarked there, it looks like two heads of people, like a blue one and a black one. Have you got that? It's not
down the bottom of the screen.
It's not down. In the bottom left-hand corner, can you see it says applications with the little F beside it? Bottom left.
Your home page or your profile page?
This is on your home page in Facebook.
Okay. No.
Okay. In that case,
now the reason I'm doing this, is so that everybody else can join as well. Is A, to humiliate you and get you back, and B, to make sure that others can do it also.
Okay. Well, look.
Mind you, I might only end up humiliating myself through lack of my ability.
For everyone who would like to follow it. It's more so much, well, you know, I don't mean to take it away from you, but it's more an audio to you thing. It's not only a Shutters Inc. thing, okay?
Jim, you're giving me stick for nothing, mate. It's not even a Shutters Inc. site.
It's an audiotou.com group. Right. So if you find the group's application within the Facebook page somewhere, somehow, I'm not sure how you find it otherwise. You probably need to go up to where it says settings in the top right-hand corner and go to application settings. Probably from there you'll be able to find groups. And once you go to groups, then you'll find a search box that says search for groups. Type in audio to you, and with any luck, it'll be the first thing and hopefully the only thing that you'll find.
Well, let me just see. I've just done all of that. There are no results for audio to you. Make sure all the words are spelled correctly. Now, I do know how to spell after all these years, audio to you. It's audio, A-U-D-I-O, number two, and then letter U, right?
Well, that's what I would have thought. Hang on. Let me. Okay. That is weird.
Have you done the same thing, have you?
I did, yes, and it came up with nothing. That's bizarre.
Well, folks, no wonder you have...
You need to put the .com on the end of it. So if you put audiotou.com in the search box, it will
find it. And there we are. All right.
How strange is that? You would have thought that a search engine would pick up on a partial rather than requiring, you know, the exact letter for letter wording, you know, because you might just be... you know, browsing and not really know what you're looking for. So that's a bit of a design oversight, I think.
Anyway. Facebook and its design oversights.
Let's not even start on that.
Yeah. But hey, Jim, for the record, mate, while this podcast, this very podcast has been recording, I have joined the audiotou.com Facebook group. Okay. Fantastic. So if I get another email from you along this lines, or you know something on Facebook and something, you know, it's done, mate. It's done. All right. I am now there. All right. Good.
Excellent.
And and of course, it's always nice to have, you know, people join us at Facebook and
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Keep in touch. Join this worldwide community. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Now we've got an email here.
Yep.
From Landon Michelson.
Right.
And it was fantastic. So we'll get to that in a minute. But who wants to hear about the new Nikon D5000?
Yeah. Hands tell us all about it.
All right. Well, it's interesting. My son was given one. Not given one. He was handed one because he and I have a very special event coming up soon. This coming Thursday, which will probably be the Thursday just passed.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, yep.
You hear this. He has been asked, actually, by the photo retailer that he works for to help do the official launch for them and in league with Nikon Australia for the D5000. And he's pretty pumped about that. But the reason that they've asked me to do it as well, so it's going to be a bit of a father and son tag team. And I'm really looking forward to it because it's a great opportunity to do something with my son.
Yeah.
And anybody who knows me and who's listened to this, you know, podcast over the years knows that I think my son is just the most awesome human being. And it's a great opportunity for us to work together and for him to have a taste of an industry into which he is becoming very much involved.
Excellent.
And so this coming Thursday, he is, you know, going to be helping to launch and present the D5000. But the reason that they wanted to have him as a part of it is because Nikon, I don't know whether it's Nikon worldwide, but it certainly is Nikon Australia, are promoting this particular SLR, this digital SLR, to young people.
Oh, okay.
Nathan's just turned 18. He's very personable. He's a good public speaker. He's as good looking as his dad. So, you know, what are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I was just thinking about the comments on Facebook through the week, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
We won't rehash that.
Right, okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said, you must have missed that. You must have missed my snide reply. To your claim that you would look good in a potato sack.
Oh, right. I do.
Would you like me to recant?
If you wish, yes. Shall we return to the subject at hand thereafter?
I said, I've always thought you would look good in a potato sack. Head first. Wah!
Yeah, you'd probably a few thousand people would agree with you as well. I'm on radio again on Tuesday, and I know I've got which is tomorrow, and I've got a great head for radio. I know that. So.
Anyway, look, as you were saying, he's as good looking as his dad, yeah.
Yeah, he is. And so he's giving so what they did on the Friday just passed, they handed Nathan the D5000 because he was going away for a bit of a weekend up to a place in Victoria called Bright.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a lovely little town. And
they'd be getting some snow about now, wouldn't they?
It rained while he was there, but they've got all that beautiful autumn leaves up there.
Oh, nice.
You know, if you're a listener in America, you take this for granted. But in Australia, we don't have a lot of areas where we get all the colors of autumn.
No.
Because of the nature of our, you know, our flora here. So we, we find an area like Bright where there's a lot of, you know, deciduous trees,
yep.
And you get all those autumn colors. And so he's gone up there and he's used the camera. And the great thing about it is that what he's done and what they've asked him to do is take photographs that you would take if you were a young person with a DSLR, which is two kinds of photo. It's a creative photo. You might see something and think, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll set this up and I'll take a cool photo of it. But then, you know, you and your posse might be getting up to some stuff. You might be fooling around, you know, doing stupid stuff. And what they've done, of course, with the D5000 is made the screen flip out and turn around. So,
oh, is that right? So you can do your self-portraits at arm's length.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Which, you know, and it's a lightweight SLR, so you can do it. And you know how everybody these days, they're doing their Facebook and MySpace profiles with the compact camera sort of, you know, pointed an arm's length away, or they're doing their this is me and my boyfriend kind of shot.
Yep.
Well, they've done that with the D5000. In other words, they've made it so that you can, in live view, you can compose, you know, and hold the camera and take the picture like you normally do. Or if you're pointing it at someone, they can watch and see on the screen what they're looking like. So it's got that whole fun aspect to it of taking pictures of your friends and family and all that kind of thing.
Right.
Like young people do. But at the same time, they're basically saying to young people, you know, it's a DSLR. You know, you want to create something really cool. You want to take great photographs. You want to change lenses. Go right ahead, because it's the kind of camera you can do that with. I think it's very clever marketing, because there's a lot of young people taking up photography, but they also just want to have a fun camera to hang around with their friends and do some cool stuff.
Yeah.
His perspective on Thursday night is going to be all about that. And, you know, my perspective will be about, well, hey, this is the camera, this is its features, and this is why it's great. But I'll also talk about the fact that if you're a parent and you're thinking of buying your child a DSLR because you want to do photography together, well, what a great camera to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it has the best of both worlds going on. Especially if you as a parent are already a Nikon user, you get to share lenses, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really good little camera. So I hope to see some of the five-minute photographer gang down there, and anybody else who just by coincidence is, you know, a Shutters Inc. listener and happens to be at the launch as well. But I'll let you know. There'll probably be a YouTube video of Nathan and me, so I'll let you know.
Oh, okay.
Doing the presentation, so I'll let you know where that is.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, and maybe we can even get Nathan to make some comments next week on Shutters Inc. or something.
Sure.
If you wish.
Yeah, not a problem.
You know,
so has he gone up to Bright with some mates?
Yeah, yeah. They went up in a couple of cars. They hired a house and basically just had a good old time hanging around and, you know, just taking a weekend out, which was really good.
Excellent.
You know? So, but he took the camera with him and he got very serious. He got up and got out and took some photographs, but he also did some fun stuff. And then, of course, his mates got hold of the camera and did some stupid stuff as well. But that's the whole great thing about it. You know, they can pick the camera up. They can put it on idiot mode. And in this case, that would apply.
Yes.
And, you know, and take great photographs. Having held the camera and you know, had a bit of a play with it, it really is a very good little digital SLR. Beautiful big screen on the back, very bright. Picture quality out of it is just excellent because it has the same sensor as the D300 D90, to my knowledge.
Oh, okay.
And the X-Speed technology in the camera is still... So it's at in other words, well, Nathan was taking photographs while he was away at 1600 ISO, and you just can't see any noise, you know, worth talking about.
Wow.
in this image, you know, it's just fantastic. So for a camera that's aimed at young people, they're basically, you know, you're also going to get very good quality images out of the thing. They haven't compromised in any way. There's a couple of things I would have liked to have seen on it, such as I would have liked to have seen CLS flash capability, which they haven't put in this particular Nikon. You have to go up to the next model, which is the D90,
yep,
to get it. But then I suppose maybe they're saying, well, are they really going to use it if it's aimed at that kind of market? If they are considering using off-camera flash ITTL technology, then they'll buy the D90.
Yeah.
So maybe they decided to save a few dollars, keep the price of the camera down, which I don't think they've done very successfully. It's not going to be a cheap camera. Nonetheless, you know, as an image maker, it's a great little piece of gear. You know,
excellent.
I'm very, very pleased with it. It's got one dial with M, A, S, and P on it. Then you go straight to the green, then no flash, then scene mode, then various obvious scene modes. It's very easy to use. I really like the fact that it's so easy to use.
Didn't I read on a website somewhere that there were like 19 different modes?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that just taking what was meant to be a, you know, ease of use feature and turning it into something far more complicated?
Well, this is something that I mentioned last week, but then I, you know, sort of forgot that what they've done is they've taken the basic scene modes, which are portrait, landscape, sport, what's the other one? Children, flower or macro, and night. They've taken those most common ones and put them on the dial on the top.
Right.
And then the other scene modes, which you wouldn't use as often,
are in
the menu.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's basically, you know, what that's all about. So the camera is very quick and easy to use. And something they haven't actually talked about too much, which I thought was very good, in the menu were post-processing options that you can do, such as de-lighting. In other words, you take a photograph and then you go to the de-lighting mode, you apply it to that image, and it will sort out the highlights and shadows and give you a better all-over exposure after having reworked the JPEG. There's inbuilt red eye correction. There's cropping, which you can do in camera, monochrome. There are various filter effects. which you can apply, such as a skylight, a warming filter, a red, green, and blue intensifier, and here's the other thing, a cross screen. So if you've gone and taken a night photograph, you can actually apply a cross screen in the image. It will save as a separate image. It doesn't write it over the top of the original image.
Okay.
Saves it as a separate image, and you've got the star effect of all your city lights.
Yeah, right.
Which we tried. Nathan and I tried it, and it's quite good. You can adjust your color balance. You can resize the picture for the web. And you can even do an image overlay. You can choose two photographs and overlay one on top of the other. So if you wanted to do some cool multiple exposure effects, you've got the camera to do it with right there. You don't have to do a lot of these things in post-processing. I thought the resize issue, the small picture option was really cool, because then you download your photographs. You've got a small image that you can use to, you know, upload to the web or to, you know, use for your MySpace profile or your Facebook profile or whatever you're going to do, without having to put it into an image editing program and resize it.
Yeah,
little right. things like that they've thought of, which are not new. They're in other cameras, but considering that they are marketing this camera towards the young people, I think there's some really, you know, interesting and cool stuff around there. But I tell you what, as an image making machine, it really is quite impressive. The pictures out of it are fantastic, and the 18-105 VR Nikkor that Nathan was given to try with the camera is just fantastic. It's so sharp. It is a really great lens. So overall, fairly impressed with the camera. I just think it's going to be a little bit expensive. It's going to be body only. I think in Australia it's something like $1,500.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think they're failing a little bit there. I think that's going to be very hard for young people maybe to afford, but I don't know whether they could have done anything about that.
Mm.
Maybe they could. Who knows? I really don't know.
But how much is the D90? I didn't think the D90 was that much.
Yeah, well, see, the D90 is about to go up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the D90 is a little bit more than that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's with a lens, it's a little bit more than that. But it apparently is about to go up, or has already, as of today, I think I was told, gone up in price.
Right.
So, yeah. And as, you know, well, basically everything is in these apparently economically recessive times.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that basically is the camera. I don't want to do a review on it, because you can read on the internet all about it. But having used the thing, having, you know, seen the images from it, having heard Nathan's perspective on it, it looks like a pretty impressive little machine. I think head to head with the Canon that it's, you know, priced against, I think it's a definite winner. But then people are going to say, "Well, but you like Nikon, Shelton." I do. I absolutely do. But let me tell you, I went to a Canon function the other night, and it was all about the 5D Mark II. And everybody was saying, "What were you doing at a Canon function, Shelton? You've gone over to the dark side." Well, every now and again, you have to hang out with the enemy to know what they're up to. You know what I mean? So, no, I'm only kidding. The 5D Mark II is a spectacular camera. It really is. But it was interesting that this particular evening, this event was all about the 5D Mark II's ability to create high-quality movies.
Yep.
And they used there's an Australian film, I don't know if anybody in other countries has seen it, but an Aussie film called Kenny.
You know, okay. The one. Yep. Haven't seen it yet, but everyone raves about it.
Oh, it's a funny film, and it's really quite good. And the fellow who made that film has taken the 5D Mark II, and he's made a short film with it. Now, here's a digital SLR, which is designed to take still pictures at 20-odd megapixels of resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And but it also has a high-resolution digital video option. So what he decided to do was do a short film about a boxing gym and put it together in a professional editing suite. And he is and he showed it there on it. And we were all in this place with a big movie screen, and they projected it.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you what, the quality was unbelievable. If you were to, I mean, the quality, I thought, looking at it from where I was sitting, I thought it was brilliant. It was better quality, I thought, than watching a movie shot on film. Definitely better quality than watching a movie shot digitally, like, say, the Star Wars epics, which I thought the quality of which were not particularly good. You know, they were filmed digitally. The last three, which were actually the first three, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And, but this was brilliant. And the fellow, was saying basically that he wants to make a full-length feature film using Canon 5D Mark IIs Because he loved the fact that you could use prime lenses with very wide apertures to get minimal depth of field, and that was all, you know, fantastic. He loved the way the camera worked. He'd worked out how to trick the camera into giving it the, you know, instead of auto exposing, how to setting it and locking it for manual exposure. He'd worked all these things out, and the film that he produced was quite incredible.
What was it called?
Very good question.
Interesting.
That
title.
Is a very good question. I can't remember.
That's right. I'll Google
it. I'll see if I can find out for you. Look, there are a lot of films being made, and they're on YouTube, etc. But you can't really tell on YouTube quality of
that's
this.
That's right.
But there I was in a movie cinema. Canon held this event more or less in a movie cinema with a big old screen, and they projected this thing, and I was left jaw dropped at the quality.
Wow.
The sound was recorded separately using professional sound equipment.
Yep.
But when he synced it up in, and I forget the program that he used, it was an Apple program.
Final Cut Pro.
Final Cut Pro, that's the one he used.
Yep.
He said all I had to do was find the WAV file from the camera in the program and then find a WAV file that looked exactly the same.
That's
the little
visually, you know, line it up.
Visually line it up, bang. From his digital recording with his proper microphones, etc. Line it up in the editing program, bing, 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 bada boom, and it was all taken care of.
Yep.
But the quality, oh man, I tell you, it was fantastic. It was
awesome.
Really, really cool. It is a great camera. Then following that was Jur van Zanzanian. Now, if anybody hasn't heard of Jur van Zanzanian, he was one of Australia's most renowned wedding photographers. His work is spectacular. Jur van is a hell of a nice guy. He's not a really good speaker. He's not the world's most, you know, ear-grabbing speaker, but he is a brilliant photographer. And he loves the 5D Mark II. He had it long time before basically Canon asked him to come and do this particular event.
Right.
And he loves the resolution. He loves the low noise. He loves working with the camera. And, that's something worth talking about. I think the 5D Mark II and the Nikon D700, if you're a wedding portrait photographer in this world, I think those are the two cameras of choice. They really are.
Yeah.
The 5D Mark II having the advantage over the D700 in terms of being able to produce high resolution video and high resolution, very high resolution stills. This is the other thing that Jur van Zanzanian was saying about the 5D Mark II, is that when he's shooting a wedding, he's working with a digital videographer, some fellow there is doing a professional video. And so he said to us, well, what's the point of me using the 5D Mark II to capture video when there's already a video guy there? He said, every point. Because A, I'm capturing something different to what the video guy is getting.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a lot of, I can set the camera up on a tripod, and while the bride and her father are talking together, and I'm pretending to set up the photo, I'm actually videotaping them, getting them as they're, you know, laughing and chatting with each other. And if I want, if I produce a DVD with my still images, I can insert a few seconds of video every now and again to coincide with the images that I've captured. And I thought, what a lovely touch. And from a business perspective, what a great business idea. So, it certainly does have, its advantages. It's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of years as the lines blur between digital SLR and digital movie making. I wonder how blurred or how, intermingled those two schools will become.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
We'll have to wait and see, I think.
Yep.
It'd be very, very interesting. Look, Landon, thank you so much for a great list. We've often spoken on Shutters Inc., haven't we, mate, about, look, if you want us to talk about something, send us an email and away we go. Well, Landon, boy, did you give us a list. Thank you for that. That's awesome. We've got, something like 40 podcasts all taken care of here. So, hey, folks, keep listening, because thanks to Landon, we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Thank you for that. Now, what's interesting about Landon's list is that much of it has to do with the working photographer. And as I was saying to you before we started recording, mate, that we take it for granted, professionals take it for granted and don't often think about what, enthusiasts want to know. Maybe they're wanting to know, what we already know, and maybe we take it for granted that, you know, they do know this stuff already. So Landon has given me a great list, and it sort of put me in my place a little bit, because I'm thinking, yeah, these are things that I should have thought of myself. And they are things like working with clients, meeting expectations, working with different creative types, such as creative directors, designers, layout, working with editors, working when others call the shots, working when others leave it up to you, etc. So many different things that I take it for granted. I'm going on a shoot tomorrow, and I've been given an email as a brief, but I'm going to be all on my own, and I have to go from location to location, and it's up to me to come up with it. Now, I take that for granted, but what if that's your first gig? You know, what do you do? Really, it's very, very good. So what I'm going to do today is just talk briefly about, if we've got the time. Have we got the time, Bruce?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Talking about finding clients and keeping clients, which is way down Landon's list, but I think it's a good place to start. And, of course, he talks about selling your style to a target audience, how to target your audience, et cetera, going it alone. But I think the finding clients and keeping clients is a good way to start, because often that will, as I found in my own life, direct where a lot of your photography is going to wind up being. You might start out with certain ideas as a photographer, I want to be this or I want to be this, but the nature of the clientele that you get may actually be quite different. And the practicality of this is that, well, you know, someone's paying you to take pictures, take the gig. And, you know, what you've done immediately then is formed a relationship with a person. And if they keep giving you work, then you're going to be doing something that you didn't expect to do. It's a great way to enhance your versatility as a photographer, but, you know, it may not be what you set out to do. And that certainly is, in my case, you know, has happened many, many times. But how to find clients and keep clients? Well, let's divide them into two separate schools, and they are commercial and domestic. And domestic would be wedding portrait, baby photography, pregnancy work, all pregnancy photography, those kinds of, you know, daily life domestic clients. Commercial clients would be magazines, you know, advertising agencies, you know, PR companies, all those kinds of things that, you know. And so first of all, I think you have to decide, well, where am I going to go? Naturally, the commercial option is going to be a more difficult one, and it will take you a lot longer to get a regular, you know, bunch of work. However, domestic clients aren't easy to find either. Now, I think what I'm going to do is divide this into two podcasts, Bruce.
Okay.
Because we've been talking a fair little while on this one, yep. And we'll start boring people. But let's talk firstly about, you know, domestic clients. Next week, we'll talk about commercial clients and how to get them. And then we'll talk, you know, as a second part of what Landon's saying, how to then keep them and work with them. Domestic clients, though, you know, let's say, for instance, wedding work. Wedding work is not that hard to find, but there are certain things that I would suggest you don't do initially. I would not suggest that if you're starting out as a wedding photographer to spend a couple of $1,000s on an ad in a bridal magazine. I would not, because bridal magazines are the kind of publication that a bride, a potential bride, you know, will buy to get ideas, to look through, to get, you know, find the dress, the style. Basically, it's visual, and it's all about giving them concepts. I don't know too many photographers, and I've spoken with quite a few, who get a lot of bookings, or any necessarily, directly from an ad in a bridal magazine. Now, if you have, let me know. I'd be really interested to know that. But usually the photographers who advertise in these magazines are often photographers who've written for the magazine, and so they get a good rate, they work out some kind of deal. Or they're photographers with very high profiles, and this is not about getting bookings, it's about the name. It's sort of like, you know,
reinforcing the brand.
Exactly. It's about branding, yes. You know, why do Coca-Cola advertise? Well, just keep the brand out there. They don't need to tell us what the thing tastes like. We already know. And so, you know, it is for that high-profile photographer who, yeah, can throw and does find it worthy of throwing a couple of $1,000s or $1,000 at a magazine for a full-page ad. You, however, no, that's that. You're not going to get your money back. I can pretty well assure you of that. Then there's the bride, you know, the online websites. They can generate a little bit of work, but having been on them myself, I know that basically you've got a lot of people tire kicking on these sites, and they'll happily click on, you know, oh yeah, send me your rates, and you can be bundling up DVDs and, you know, price lists and brochures and sending them out to people the same as the 1,000 other photographers that, you know, have been asked to do the same thing for this one particular engaged couple are doing. So what happens is this poor couple get inundated with a whole bunch of stuff and end up going with somebody that their sister recommended in the first place. You know what I mean? And that's usually the case. Now, if you're on a website that is not particularly expensive and, you know, offers you a good deal, give it a try. Usually they're only a few hundred dollars for a quarter or something like that. And, you know, maybe give it a try and see whether your particular method of marketing, your price range, whatever, appeals to people. I know that I've been on these websites. I've signed up, registered only to basically send out a lot of packages and not get a single booking. And that's not because my work is bad or my price is high. It's just that I know that I was in there with a lot of other photographers, and probably every girl went with someone that was recommended to them. And therein is the killer. If you get recommended to a couple by someone for whom, you know, you photographed their wedding, it's pretty much assured you've got a 90% chance that that wedding is going to be yours. So getting those kinds of recommendations and building up that name takes time, but it's the best way to do it. If anybody goes to my my wedding photography blog, I have a lot of testimonials on that particular blog that basically say, hey Shelton, thank you so much for photographing our wedding. We had so much fun during the shoot. You made us laugh and we had a really great time, and the time just flew by and we had a great time. Thank you for making our wedding day so much fun. And then there's a little line at the bottom says, oh, and by the way, thank you, we love our photographs. So for them, it's, you know,
yeah.
Photographers get it all wrong when they think that it's when they're meeting with the client that they have to impress with my photography. Yes, well, to be honest with you, you probably wouldn't be meeting with the client if you hadn't already impressed them with your photography. Yeah. They've been on the web, they've seen your website, or you've sent them a DVD or whatever you've done. Somehow they've seen your photography, which is why they're giving up their time to meet with you and talk about their wedding. Otherwise, what's the point? Most of the time they've seen your photography and they've, you know, some way or another. So when you actually meet with the couple, it really is, it's more a case of how are you going to come across as the person who will spend hours and hours with them on their wedding day, and how are you going to market yourself to these two people right there and then? Well, the first thing to do is to manifest a sincere, warm and personal interest in their wedding day. Don't walk in and talk about yourself. Don't walk in and say, well, you know, I've done this many weddings and I'm good and I've got a 24 megapixel camera and, you know, you're going to get the best quality and, you know, I'm so good. I've been here and I've been there and haven't I got a lot of great hair and, you know, whatever it might be, right? Because then you just come across as the narcissistic photographer that they really don't want on their wedding day. I hear so many, and I've mentioned this on this podcast before, so many bridesmaids who are married say to me on the wedding day that, you know, they're the bridesmaids for, that on their wedding day, the photographer was a complete prat. And he was an arrogant so-and-so, or he was quiet and boring, or he just ordered people around, and the photos were nice, but it was so boring. But if you can combine quality photographs, beautiful photographs, with a good experience that they remember, trust me, you are going to get a lot of personal recommendations. How do you get the first one? Well, that's the hard part. And maybe you need to maybe think small in the beginning by, you know,
can I throw my 2 cents worth in here?
Absolutely.
Generally, you're going to know for yourself whether or not you think you're ready to shoot a wedding.
Yep.
Right? And I think when you get to that level of self-confidence of going, yeah, I think I'm ready to do it. I honestly think I can handle it being the main photographer.
Yeah.
At that point, My personal approach is, you know, find friend or a friend or a friend of a friend who is getting married and say, look, I want to get into wedding photography. I don't expect you to hire me as your wedding photographer because I've never shot a wedding before, but would you mind if I came along as an unpaid second photographer and shot your wedding for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, obviously, you know, you've got to be diplomatic because if they are paying, you know, a Shelton Mueller of the world to be photographing their wedding, then, you know, you've got to be careful you're not stepping on Shelton Mueller's toes.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great way to get some experience, at least shooting a wedding in a semi-official role, and you've then got some product that you can show the next friend of a friend that's getting married, and you can say, well, you know, here's at least one wedding that I've shot, you know, and you take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's right. That's you know, it's a great way to start. And you're basically saying, yes, I'm starting small. And it could take you a little bit of time. If it takes, you know, less time than that, fantastic. If you get recommendations, even better. And it won't take long at all. I mean, in the past 14 months that I've personally known Richard, I mean, he's been a longtime listener to Shutters Inc.
Yeah.
But in the past 14 months that I have personally known Richard Annable, he's gone from being, you know, a guy who turned up at my wedding that he wanted to help me on, a little bit nervous with, you know, no intention of you know, getting in my way, but he just wanted to carry my bags and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I said to him, hey, shoot away, mate, shoot away, you know, and he was very gracious and grateful for that. He's in that particular time. I know next weekend he's flying to Sydney.
Right.
To shoot a wedding.
Good on him.
Yeah. He should come and say good day, shouldn't he?
He should.
Yeah, I'll let him know. But he's, you know, he was here last night at my place, you know, having a Coke and a bit of chocolate. And a giggle. He rang me up and said,
crap.
Yay, crap, crap, giggle, giggle. He rang me up saying, I've just taken a great photograph and there's no way I'm emailing it to you. I'm driving around to your place now and I've got to show you this picture. So, yeah, okay, mate, no worries. So he came around and I said, oh, but you got to bring some Coke and some chocolate with you. You know, that was the condition. So he did. That was fine. But he's gone in that particular time from being the guy who just turned up and, you know,
helped
me out to now he's booked, you know, for weddings and he does portrait shoots. And
the guy doesn't have a minute to scratch himself.
He actually doesn't. He's got a new girlfriend who never sees him because he's just so busy with work.
And I know that he's tentatively booked for a wedding in the UK next year.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether that's happening, but the thing was, here's the thing.
Well, at some point, it was a tentative thing.
Yes. So. Oh, yeah, it definitely was an inquiry that went back and forth.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Even if it doesn't happen, it was an inquiry from the UK to Richard Annable.
Absolutely.
Will you come and photograph our wedding? We think you're good enough.
Yeah.
You're better than any photographer we've seen here in London.
Man,
to come and photograph.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
It is quite, even if it doesn't happen, the very fact that they
inquired
is good enough to say, hey, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I know it looked and freaked him out a little bit, I must admit, though, you know, but he would have, it really also, you know, boosted his confidence.
Yeah.
So you can do it. But see, Richard on a wedding is, he knows the secret of being a good wedding photographer is not just about turning up and taking great photographs. He's a hell of a nice guy. He turns up with a whole bunch of, he turns up with a bag of snakes. Right? He turns up with needle, which is, if you're not in Australia, what would you say, Bruce? How would you describe snakes to people who don't want to, they're like jelly babies, but they're shapes of, they're, you know, I don't know, what are you, little canned lolly things that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how you, it's a glucose-based, lolly, candy, as the Americans would say.
Yeah, that's right. I want candy. Yeah. And so, you know, he turns up with needle and thread. He turns up with Band-Aids. He turns up, he makes sure that he has bottles of water. He has all these things. So he's there as a human being who happens to take pictures. And he's funny. You know,
walking 7-Eleven.
He's a walking 7-Eleven on a wedding. Yeah, I tell you, it's a good description. And Richard, I know you're listening to this, mate, so you can now advertise yourself as the walking 7-Eleven. Thank you to Bruce Williams. But you know, he and I will be at a wedding.
Taglines.
Yes, he gave us crap, crap, giggle, giggle. After all, didn't he? That was Bruce, that was Richard.
That was Richard,
wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So we've just given him the walking 7-Eleven tagline. but I mean, I know in a wedding, I wanted the bridal party to get dancing. So Richard's standing beside me a few feet away, and he suddenly breaks into Louie, Louie. Oh, and we just broke into it together and we started dancing. So they all decided to break into it together as a bridal party. And so there's like 10 of us,
yeah,
you know, standing in front of this beautiful old, you know, mansion singing Louie, Louie. And they're dancing. And what am I doing, man? I'm down low with a wide angle shooting the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you get recommendations for that kind of thing. Because, well, in Australian culture, people just want to have fun. I know that in every culture at their weddings, you know, you don't want to have some boring guy going, well, you will stand over here and then...
Well, the thing is, a wedding is stressful enough.
Yeah.
So any option, you know, or opportunity to relieve that stress is going to be welcomed by all.
Yes, absolutely. And they just want to have fun, man. You know, they've been planning this day for ages. So if you get a wedding, right, you advertise maybe in a local newspaper. Just keep it small. Keep your price down. Make yourself – because as you say, you've got to get the gigs.
Yeah.
In order to get the gigs, you have to make yourself – really, I mean, you're an investment with not a lot of portfolio here.
That's
the
right.
The bride and groom are saying, well, this is our day. It's our day of days. We're entrusting it to you. And even 25 years into shooting weddings like I am, I still consider it an honor when any couple asks me to photograph their wedding. It's an immense honor. Right?
Yep.
And I take that very seriously. So here's this couple saying, okay, we'll give you a go. Yes, you're a great price. And yet they may not be the world's most elaborate weddings because they're buying you at a budget price. Obviously, they're probably buying other people at a budget price too because they're maybe a poorer demographic. But if you can pull out of that wedding some awesome photos and you can give them a really good experience, you're going to get recommended again. And as time passes, you build up your folio, you build your name, your renown, you increase your price, you become more proficient at photographing weddings, proficient at post-processing your weddings, and your work will grow, your reputation will grow. Richard's done that in 14 months. He really doesn't, you know, really hang around me much anymore at all. He's got his own gigs going on, right? And that's great. You know, it's sort of like, well, grasshopper, you've taken a stone from my hand, you know? And that's great. You know, it's absolutely fantastic. So, and look, the same applies with portrait work, pregnancy work, child photography. You've got, we're already presuming that you know how to take an image. Otherwise, you wouldn't even, well, let's hope so.
You wouldn't be contemplating it.
Yeah, absolutely. No. And look, you'll soon find out if you think you're a better photographer than you actually are, right? but really, first of all, I think if you're going to be a wedding photographer, you've got to shoot a few weddings either as an assistant or, you know, as a second shooter or maybe with the permission of the couple, et cetera, like you suggested.
Yep.
But once you've got to that stage and you're ready to say, okay, you know, and you crack your knuckles and you say, right, I'm going to give a wedding a go. I'm going to try this on my own. Or you're thrown into it somehow because your niece needs their wedding photographed and they haven't got any money or whatever it might be, right? Then you've got an opportunity to build on that and build slowly. That you can do. And the same, like I say, applies to pregnancy photography, all those other things. Advertise small in your local area. Join some of the local, you know, communities that you know, like what are we talking about?
Camera clubs.
Yeah, camera. No, Rotary.
Okay, right.
You know, you get involved in the community in some of these, you know, local and let them know. Hand everybody a business card, you know, and that I admit is something Richard is far better than me at doing, handing out business cards. Now, here's an interesting thing, and Richard, I hope you don't mind me telling you this story, telling everybody this story, but Richard was down at a place called Montsalvat in Melbourne, which is a great place for wedding receptions and wedding photographs. It's an old artist community. I hold a lot of my workshops there. Beautiful light, beautiful textures, great place to shoot. Now, he was doing a shoot down there, and he saw a young couple walking around the place. So he just marched up to them, and he said, oh, you're planning on getting married here? And they said, yeah, we really are. Bang! Out came the business card, and they pretty much booked him on the spot. It was just, you know, wow, fantastic.
Awesome.
They, you know, he met with them and everything, but he was pretty much booked. Because he had the opportunity to speak with them and meet, and away he went. So these things will come your way if you're smart. Getting domestic work, it can be It's not that difficult, provided you are willing to start at a lower price in the local community and build from there. And that, as I say, is the same with portrait work, pregnancy photography, baby photography, child photography, all those kinds of things. We're not actually going to talk about the photography. We're just going to talk about getting the clients.
I think all of those other avenues that you just mentioned, like pregnancy, engagements, family portraits, all of those things, you can offer that to your friends as a free service just to build up a portfolio.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't feel, you know, quite ready to approach someone and say, can I, you know, second shoot your wedding? You know, you can always do those other forms, you know, as a free service just to build up your experience and your portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And certainly worth doing for the, like you say, the experience. And you've got, something to show, you know. So absolutely. Do as much free work as you can possibly handle. There's always going to be friends who want photos done. There's always going to be a relative getting married or a friend of a friend or whatever. Absolutely. And you've got to be patient. You've got to be really, really patient. This is not something that's going to build itself, you know, overnight. And yet, as I've said, in the case of Richard and others I've known, it can happen very, very quickly. I may have spoken about my friend Greg Bayer on this podcast before, who, when I met him, was installing Foxtel, you know, a cable TV. And within a few short months, he was assisting with me on weddings, and in a very short time after that, he was he was already starting to shoot his own. So if you're good and you know what you're doing, it can happen very, very quickly. Next week in our next podcast, let's talk about the nuances of getting commercial clients. In many ways the same sort of principle, but with a little bit of a different twist. That is a lot more about networking and a lot more about relationships than, you know, necessarily almost anything else I can think of, at least from my experience and from a lot of, you know, photographers' experience that I'm aware of. So,
cool.
Landon, once again, thank you for some great ideas. We've got the next year taken care of with just your email. It really is awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to keep this email on hand. I want everybody who listens to Shutters Inc. to email Landon Michelson, get him on Facebook or whatever.
Or find him on Flickr.
Yeah, find him on Flickr and thank him for some great ideas, because I tell you what, this list of ideas that he's got is really cool, because if you are thinking of making a few dollars from your photography, the things that he's asked to hear more about are stuff that I'm sorry I took for granted and shouldn't have, and I apologize. This is really, really great stuff.
I don't think Landon will mind me saying this, but to find him on Flickr, do a search for BK Secret.
Yes.
Is it Best Kept
BK
Secret?
BK Secret Photo?
BK Secret Photo?
BK Secret Photo.
Yeah. Yep. Best Kept Secret Photos. Yeah. So BK Secret Photo on Flickr. That's Landon. Landon does some awesome landscape stuff.
Beautiful.
It just blows my mind.
Beautiful work. Absolutely.
Actually, I think it was Landon that first introduced us to the idea of dark frame subtraction.
It was Landon. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, we did a podcast with Landon.
We did.
Yep. Yeah. So I want everybody to find him by hook or by crook and say thank you, thank you, thank you for shutting Shelton up about my ideas, because he's got a million of them now.
Excellent, mate. Well, thank you for that.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
It's been a good topic, and I'm sure it's going to lead to a series of really good discussions. So.
I think it's going to be the wedding podcasts all over again.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. That's certainly proven to have legs, that series.
Yes. There are people who listen to them over and over again.
Yeah.
Now, what I've actually done is I'm going to take a leaf out of that book, as it were, and I'm going to now create a series of 5-minute photography tutorials for a 5-minute photographer website that is based on exactly the same thing. They're going to be 5-minute photography tutorials that I'll start in the next few weeks, which gives people on this podcast plenty of time to join up to 5-minute photographer. And I'm going to start a whole bunch of tutorials: how to photograph a wedding, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, etc., till we've got all our bases covered. And hopefully, you know, we'll get the same kind of response from that we did from the podcast that we did.
Cool.
That's my plan. That's my plan for world domination.
Well, We don't need your ideas anymore, but well, not for a little while anyway. But if you do want to touch base, please do. It's studio@audiotou.com or shelton@audiotou.com. And yeah, we'll look forward to hearing all about the commercial work next week.
Next week. And look, in the meantime, if there's something in this particular podcast that I've skipped or missed that you want a little bit of help with, or something you even disagree with from your own experience, something that just didn't happen to you, or maybe something that did happen, please let us know, because all this kind of stuff keeps the photography industry booming and bustling. And what it does, and this is something that's dear to my heart, what it does is it prevents a lot of really bad photography from being sold to suckers. And I'm sorry, I you know, if there's something I hate, it's bad wedding photography. Anybody who knows that, who's been listening to the podcast, knows that, because you're taking a couple's day that means the world to them, and you're just ruining it. And I feel very strongly about that. And what I really want to do is make sure that listeners to this podcast get it right, so that we can keep the professional and even semi-professional photography industry booming with all the right people doing it right. That's what I really want from this.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, we will talk with you next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, mate.
All right, mate. See ya.
See ya.
This has been another AudioToYou.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out
ShuttersIncPodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@AudioToYou.com.